Father, what you've given me this morning, I pray you will anoint because I believe you gave it. So therefore, I want to give you the glory to release this word into their hearts so that they may mature and grow up as men and women of God. In Jesus' name. This message isn't just for you because you're already here. But it's really for those who are wondering what to do next and why we gather together in the house of prayer. And I'm reminded on April 23rd, in the third day of Passover, the Lord pressed us to go to Acts chapter 6. So that's where we're going to go. That's when God decided to set aside Dr. Bob Trump, Marianne Bishop, and Gail Noe. So in case you didn't know, we have a bishop that is definitely on the job overseeing this house. Okay? So that I'll take any questions out of how much hierarchy do we have here. Okay? And that is a joke. But in those days, verse 1, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, say, all disciples together, gathered together. Why am I saying that? Because the message is to let you see that God is looking to gather you together for a purpose. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit of wisdom. Isn't that cool? We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to the prayers and the ministry of the Word. So, think about what I'm coming from. I'm not trying to single out anybody. I'm trying to awaken in you the hunger that God wants in order for us to fulfill our responsibilities as men and women of God in the house. Okay? Verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, the man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, there's a story about that last verse. I can remember my days in the Roman church. And I can remember a particular Sunday morning when there was a message that was given. And I'm not being critical now. I'm just trying to tell you how God worked with me. I had been involved with the Holy Spirit for a number of years. I had a knowledge of the Word. I had my Bible next to me that particular Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, something happened, and I thought, my God, that doesn't fit the Word of God. That doesn't match what God has shown to me. So I said, Lord, where did this come from? What is this base of let's say, orchestrated ritual that just kind of turned me off? How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you see something that's not quite perfect, and you can tell that there's a twist going on, and it's not God. So I said, Lord, where did this come from? Where did it have its roots. And he said, in the Jewish priesthood. Well, now, how do you like them apples? I couldn't have thought of that answer if it was paid $1 million. I knew it had to be God. So now I am on a quest. Well, how and when and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord brought me to this scripture. He just popped it into my head. Look, Acts chapter 6, you'll get a clue. So I read this and I said, wait a minute. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. How many of you were brought up differently than most others on your street? Put your hand way up. Did you ever conceive that you're going to be pressed to kind of do things the way you were brought up? You're going to try to bring up your kids in a way that you were brought up, unless you know for sure there's something wrong, you'll make an adjustment. But you kind of follow what you've been taught, yes? And do you do it by choice or is it automatic? Automatic. Thank you. That's what God was trying to teach me. He says, these priests came in with the what? The rituals. And they carried out ritual after ritual, week after week, year after year, and they did it correctly to please. They were comfortable. And they really taught and thought they were pleasing God. And I thought, oh my God, the roots of this thing go back into the book of Acts. Whoa! Now that gives you a different view of religiosity. Correct? People intent on serving God with a group of things that you do to make God happy. Now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to ask yourself this question. How much of what I do is in obedience to please myself and keep myself comfortable? How much of what I do am I seeking to please my Father? Now, I'm not going to ask you for a response or a number, but I am going to ask you to put your hand over your heart. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I call you Lord and Master. Do I really have the fruits of an obedient servant or keeping myself happy? Educate me. Teach me. Counsel me, Holy Spirit. So that I will not be stuck in my tradition while I criticize the counsel of those that are walking in what they believe is serving God and pleasing God. Because of their background, I set them free. And if I've judged and found fault, I ask you to forgive me. Set me free today. Wash me with your blood, Lord. Because I don't want that falling back on me. When I judge and criticize, Matthew 7, Romans 2, it comes right back at me. And I don't want to get caught again. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about is real? Okay? And it's not to be critical now. It's to make us aware that we can change it once your eyes are open. See, once your ears are open and your eyes are open and you begin to comprehend, you say, oh my God, they're just doing what comes naturally. Don't find fault with them. Don't criticize them. They're stuck. But how much am I stuck? How much of what I do is caught or taught by humans rather than by my Father God? How much of what I act and react with is really the Holy Spirit? And you know what? Like I told you guys earlier, that tabernacle down at the bottom of the hill, nobody's criticizing it. I mean, it's bringing glory to the enemy, I'm positive, because of the decorations. And it's okay. They're literally advertising who they are serving. You're advertising who you're serving by your choices, by your gathering yourselves into this place in order for God to manifest. Amen? I want you to go to Acts chapter 1. Because we're going to be talking about a little bit of why we gather together. Verse 6. Acts 1, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set for his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he keeps adding another level and another level. So it's going to start in Jerusalem, but it's going to spread. Amen? Verse 4 is very important. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this summons. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many are present? They say roughly 500. How many stayed? Yeah, only 120. Now that doesn't add up to me. I mean, here's Jesus appearing and eating with them. Now he's the same guy that got crucified, and they know, right or wrong, they know, they can see him. He's having dinner. You have somebody with dinner, I mean, let's face it, I mean, he's there. Okay? I mean, think about it. Over 300 walk away. Guess what? They were busy doing what they wanted to do. The Holy Ghost was promised, but only 120 were, hey, let's get back together. Hey, let's not let this happen without us. I remember a testimony. A very charismatic lady, I should say. Wrote several books. I'm not going to give her a name. I can't even think of it, so I'm not going to give glory to the person. But I am going to give glory to God. And she was in her college years. And every single week, they met in a chapel. And every single week, she purposed to go. But this wonderful, wintry, stormy night, in January, she decided, oh, I don't feel so good. I think I'm going to stay in bed. And I'll do my homework so I don't, you know, goof up my school tomorrow. So she stayed in bed that night, and the rest of the saints gathered, and the Holy Spirit came down, and they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost except her. That's a day of Pentecost, not 2,000 years ago. Just a few years back. So when she got to the cafeteria the following morning, the cafeteria was abuzz. Because all the saints that were in the chapel had their new tongue. And they were going around. And they're all excited about their new gift. And guess what? I muffed it. And she went on this incredible guilt trip. is it God that put you on a guilt trip? No. So the Lord said to her, would you stop complaining? How can I bless you when you are complaining? Anybody know what happened to those Israelites when they were complaining? They got buried alive in the desert. So she finally decided, I better shut up. I better praise you because I made a mistake and confess my sin of selfishness. Okay? And she did. And when she did, guess what? The Holy Ghost came in her room. So she had a private anointing. Why? Because God's mercies are greater than His judgments. God's mercies are greater. That's not to put guilt on you. It's not to put any kind of baffling ways of why God does what He does. But I can tell you this. It's important to obey. It's important if you made a mistake, go to your dad. Talk to him. If you need somebody with flesh on them, call us. Yeah, we're interested. We want you to come out of the darkness. We want you to come out of deception. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came. Now the Amplified says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. What does that mean? Why is it different? Fully come. What does fully come mean? The appointed hour for the Holy Spirit to come was already completed in God's timetable and God's calendar. In other words, this could not have happened a month earlier. Had to happen that day. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly. Why is that word there? Because it was unexpected. Even though they had a knowledge that it was going to happen, it happened without their being prepared. Are you ready for that suddenly to happen here? Are you ready for some Tuesday that God will have you walk in the door in one way and have you go home on cloud 99? Are you aware that He may desire to change you on that Tuesday or this Sunday or next Sunday? I don't know when He's going to show up any more than you do. But I know He's full of suddenly. Look at your neighbor, say He's full of suddenly. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. To rest, meaning it stayed. It stayed. It didn't go away. It stayed. Tongues of fire presenting what? What's the purpose of the tongues of fire? To burn out the old part of you that needs to be burned. And it was on their heads or over their heads. Why? Because that's where the problem is. How many know there's no real problem with your heart? It's your brain that gets you in trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to have a fire in your brain. And so do I. Yeah. See, it's not somebody else that's got to get fixed. It's all of us. Okay? It's all of us that need that baptism of fire. Now, is it comfortable? No. Is it going to change the way you think? Yes. Is it going to change the way you respond? Yes. Is it going to be wonderful when you get the fruit? Yes. Not quite so quickly on yes. Because it's going to identify how much selfishness there is in all of us. And you know, when you're serving self, which we talked about last week, not serving Jesus. You're serving your comfortable stage. You're serving your old priesthood, if you wish. Okay? I want you to take and go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. Are you ready? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. How many know that when the anointing of the Lord comes upon you, you can really be bold? And you know it's not you. When a word of knowledge is to be given out, and you're pressed of God to obey. But the point I'm trying to tell you is, they were meeting together in one place, not scattered in their individual homes. Now go to verse 16 of chapter 4. No, I'm sorry. Acts 16. Forgive me. Acts chapter 16. Verse 13. Gail, are you there? Good, because I think we're going to go with the Amplified right now because I'm getting a press. Hold on. 16:13, correct? You read it for us, please.
On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city's gates to the bank of the river where we supposed there was an accustomed place of prayer.
Oh.
And we sat down and addressed the women who had assembled there. Continue.
Is that verse 13?
Yes.
Go to chapter 20, verse 7. An accustomed place where they gathered. That's quite a statement, isn't it? An accustomed place. Somewhere where they were choosing, and it happened to be next to a river. So does it have to be a building? Not necessarily. But again, it's talking about obedience. To gather where the saints are gathered. Verse 20, verse 7.
And on the first day of the week, when we were assembled together to break bread, the Lord's Supper, Paul discoursed with them, intending to leave the next morning, and he kept on with his message until midnight.
Okay. Breaking bread, having supper, and up till midnight. Think about that. The eighth day of our celebration, when our friend Dan started, I think he started to preach around maybe 6:30-ish, 7 o'clock, no, 7:30, and he went on until about 9:30, whatever, and it seemed about 15 minutes. How many of you were here that night? How many know it didn't last long enough for me? It wasn't long enough for me. I didn't have enough. I wanted more. Why? Huh? Why? Why did you want more? Not satisfied. It wasn't natural food I wanted. It was more spiritual food. Spiritual food will sustain you for eternity. Natural food? Few hours and you got to do it again. 1 Corinthians 11:33. See, the reason I've given you enough scripture is you need to be able to see the message that I hope will be given to you is a hunger to be obedient when God's calling you to do or to be somewhere. To do and to be somewhere. I think it's anything, you know, but not to listen to your old traditions. not to listen to your emotions. Want to go for it? That's okay.
11:33.
Correct.
So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Those who are hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further direction.
How many see that we're talking about together? Together. A couple more weeks, we're going to be having a Sunday with some celebration and some food and so on and so forth. And you know, all those things are good. And I'm not being critical of everybody getting excited over a Fellowship Sunday. But you know, one of the highlights of the feast, for me, was to watch the saints not want to leave. They just didn't want to leave. Sometimes we left here after 10 o'clock. And they were just gabby-gabby, just, you know, having a wonderful time discussing what God was doing. And you know what? I believe there's more of that on the way. I really do. I really believe there's more of that on the way. When the saints get hungry, God will definitely bring the supply of spiritual food as well as natural food. And he's going to use all kinds of different vessels. So it may not be them that's going to return. It could be another person that God will choose. It may be Doug. I don't know. But you know what? He's in charge, and I refuse to worry. But more important than all the rest, pray about when it's time to gather together. If there is a nudge that God wants to increase you in your ability to participate and be obedient in the release of the gifts that you have, don't pull back. God desires that all of you would prophesy. God desires that all of you would give out what you get in your heart and in your spirit. God is interested in you giving and being a part of. You say, well, I know it. I'm not good at all that other stuff, but I can give hugs. You could be the best gift to the house of prayer by giving hugs and hospitality than all the other things put together. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. Well, I'm just a youth. I can't do this. I can do that. But I can sing. Oh, really? Well, then sing with all the gusto that you have. And as you do, God will bless not only you, but he'll bless those that are hearing you. Keyboard, sir. Well, get ready. If you are to be pressed of God to use an instrument to worship him, don't pull away. Oh, well, I'm not talented. Big deal. Big deal. I heard something this week on the program it's Supernatural. I can never think of that name of that program. It's Supernatural. Anybody else see it about the lady with her son? And she was, you saw it? Okay. This lady was on, she is probably in her 30s. And something happened to her son. I didn't get the whole detail of what happened, but he had an accident of some type. He was blinded and couldn't see out of both eyes. But God took him into the heavenlies. And while he was there as a young teenager, 12 or 13, I think it was, he got impacted by God. He had never read the Bible, but he came back from that experience knowing the Bible from cover to cover. She used the word downloaded. He knew everything in the scripture and had never studied. There goes your brain, man. There goes your brain. Never studied, and now he's got this. And I mean, he starts to talk about these things to her in his blinded condition. And then the Lord gave him a word, And this was the fantastic part. He said to her, because he couldn't talk, but he would write in a pad. And you can see him in the hospital bed and with a pad, and he would, you know, write messages. And he gave his mother, after this experience, the name of two people, kids, that were killed in car accidents, with the parents' address, okay, and to write to them. And he put a little note of himself, and he gave it to Mom, and he said, Mom, I want you to mail this out, and I want you to mail it to these parents, different parts of the country. Mom, in unbelief, put it in her bureau drawer. Okay? Several days later, he wrote a note to his mom and said, isn't it about time that you obey God and not me? And so she finally confessed. She says, I was just afraid to send this out to addresses that I had never heard, to people that I've never heard, that my son said they saw your child and he's okay, and told him to get off of this soapbox where they were crying all the time and say they were okay. I talked to them. We played together in heaven and had a wonderful time, and it's you that's got to change and get yourself in the house of the Lord or get yourself to church. So the mama did finally obey after that earth-shattering experience. And within a few days, he said to her, I'm glad you finally did it, but Jesus came and laid hands on my eyes, on one eye, excuse me, during the night. She said, well, can you see? He said, no, it's time to use your faith. Ah. Jesus came, he saw him come into the room in the spirit. Jesus laid his hands on the boy's eye. And he still can't see. Would you have faith? So she began to give thanks to God. Even though she knew her son was blind from both eyes, that God had said, I laid hands on this boy and he can see. So she began to thank the Lord, Mark 11:24, believing that she had seen the vision, or he had seen the vision, but she was believing with him. And when she did, a few days later, she came into the room, and she said something to him, and he had one eye open, just a little bit, and he said, Ma, you shouldn't be sitting there. And she said, how can you see? And of course, the excitement broke forth because the first eye was healed. And down the road, the other eye was healed. Then she was commissioned of the Lord to write a book. And I think I could tell you the name of the book, because I wrote it down. And in it, there are messages that the boy received for the body of Christ. And the name of the book, I believe, is A Message from God. And one of the things he told her, he said to her, read Matthew 25. And so that, I thought that was kind of cute. And it's about the five wise virgins and the five unwise, okay? And the word of knowledge was working in him, and he had never studied any of that. And anyway, the bottom line is, God knows what he's doing. God knows how to impact your family, your life, your circumstances, and it's time for you to take faith. Gather together. Now that you've heard, activate your faith. You say, well, I don't have too much. Well, God's got plenty. Bow your head. Father, I ask that you would just create a hunger for faith, to believe for the impossible, to really thank the Lord for what he's already impressed you with, because each one is personal, that you may grow in the knowledge and to believe by choice and to receive by faith God's answer to every one of your prayers. share some hugs with each other. That's your commission from me.